That is a lot of information, but great things are going on here at Crosspoint. Let me encourage you. I know that's kind of a lot we threw at you there, but you could always go online to crosspointworshipcenter.com, and you can revisit these videos that are posted there along with the message. Each message is archived along with the notes. I want to encourage you to be sure and familiarize yourself with our website, crosspointworshipcenter.com. A lot of tools there, a lot of things. So if you miss some of this, you can always check back with that and catch that later. So be sure and check that out. Speaking of checking that out, one thing I've been encouraged to encourage you in, and that is to check in on Facebook. And so if you want to just go ahead and get out your phones right now and just check in, you know, that's a tool. You say, well, that's kind of silly, Pastor. Actually, it's a tool. You can sit right here and encourage people of what's going on at Crosspoint and maybe encourage them to show up here as well. And so encourage you to do that if you'd like to do so. Real excited about this series that we are actually giving the last installment of today on this Memorial Day weekend, as we've been doing a book study on the book of Galatians. A lot of times we do topical series, but a couple times a year we like to take a book and just really dig into the Word on a particular book in kind of an expository type of way, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And so we've been doing that. Works out pretty well because there's six chapters here in Galatians, and we've got a six-week series. And so we've just kind of been breaking it down in that fashion. The first week we talked about the tree of life and how that there are two trees in the garden, the tree of life and then the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And one presents a very life-giving message of the grace that we find through Jesus Christ, and we live in a relationship with Him. And the other is actually very much about our knowledge and how we obtain and do things ourselves and through works, and it's kind of hard and difficult. And sometimes we swing from tree to tree. Very foundational message to this series, but also to this church, because we understand that we don't get to God through following a set of rules. We get to God through relationship, through Jesus Christ. Now, as we follow Jesus, there's some things that are going to automatically change and line up with His Word, but we don't approach God through the rules. We approach God through the grace of Jesus Christ. That means that's nothing that we've done, but it's everything that He's done. That's good news, isn't it? So it kind of takes the weight off of us and actually puts the weight on Jesus, who has capable of shoulders to carry all of our burdens, and He did so. Took those burdens and all the weight of our sins upon the cross. And so there was nothing for us to do except believe on Him. That's good news. I mean, we should get excited about that on point one, right? And so week one, we talked about the tree of life. Week two, we talked about the crucified life, how that we have to die to ourselves and the old ways and habits and follow Jesus. And then week three, we talked about grace, really living in grace, what that looks like. And really, Paul went through and defined what that grace relationship is. Week four, we talked about sonship or relationship, how that it's not religion, but this thing is based on relationship. And so in week five, last week, we talked about living by the Spirit, living and walking and through the power of the Holy Spirit, which is the only way this thing is really going to be lived out. And Paul was really, this letter to the church of Galatia, which was in modern day, is now in modern day Turkey, he was actually, as a corrective letter, because there was those that came in and said, well, now that you're in this thing, now you've got to just line up and do all the, our expectations are of you. And Paul said, that's not what this is about. This thing is about an intimate relationship with Jesus that's based on faith, not on works. And so this whole letter is really addressing that. And really how this thing is supposed to be lived out. Today we're going to talk about the responsibility that comes with our freedom, because this really is a series about freedom. And I think we misunderstand freedom. Freedom doesn't mean we just free and live whatever way. It doesn't matter. Who cares? No. There's a freedom that we have that delivers us from this bondage of the law that we couldn't fulfill anyway. But it's only fulfilled through Jesus Christ. But now that we're in a relationship with Jesus Christ, some things are going to begin to change. We're going to begin to die to ourselves. We're going to begin to live in this thing of grace. But it also means that we're in relationship and we're living by the power of the Holy Spirit. But it also means that there's some responsibilities that comes our way. And so let's look at this for just a moment. Look with me in Galatians chapter 6. Also there in your worship guide, you'll find some message notes you can follow along and some fill in the blanks, and we'll throw up here on the screen for you. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14 says this: "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." And so he's saying that it's all about about following Jesus. It's all about this relationship with Jesus. There's a picture here from Paul's life and a promise to each of us of what freedom looks like. What he's saying here is his life is not centered around a code or an Old Testament law or religion, but rather his life is centered on a person, the person of Jesus Christ. His life is centered on a personal relationship. Can I just get you to say with me, relationship? Relationship. So I think sometimes we come into church and what we hear is religion, but I hope today that you hear this word and it's relationship. And Paul said, everything I do is centered around this personal relationship. And so with this comes an invitation and a promise. And I know it's a journey that we all take. If you grew up like I did, you grew up in church, you got to be careful. You know, there's times in your life where you have this real close relationship with Jesus, and then there's other times that you revert back to it's just a religion, and it's just a form, and it's a set of rules, and it becomes very religious. Let me tell you, that's what Jesus even wrestled with when he came to this earth, that there was this group that had this religious leaders, and they had these rules, and they said, "You're not following the rules." And Jesus came along to say, it's not just about the rules, it's about relationship. And so he got out among people and began to meet people where they were and began to get relational with people. And as he got relational with people and people he met their needs and they learned that Jesus loved them, he wasn't just a guy who barked down rules, but it was a guy who actually wanted to have a relationship with them. Then they were drawn into this relationship, and then he sat down and began to teach them. And step by step, they began to change and be conformed in the image of Christ. That's how this thing works. So it is a journey. It's a journey. I would say also it's a journey for the church. And I would say that oftentimes, if we're not careful, we could come into church and we can hear the music, and we can hear the preaching, and we can shake hands, and we can get to know each other. We can like the environment, but if we're not careful, we have just ourselves personally have done nothing more than walked into a religious setting, and we're having a religious experience. And it happens all the time. It can happen here. It can happen in churches all across our city where people go to church and they have a religious experience, but they never have a relationship. And I want to tell you, that is a tragedy. It's a tragedy. I believe there are young people that, if not careful, can grow up in a church. Let me just say this. If mom and dad's not modeling it also at home, but they're going to church is just a thing on the list of things that week that we do, and we just show up at church. But the rest of the week, you live an entirely different way. And so that child grows up understanding it's just going to church is just something that they do. Really has nothing to do with the rest of her life. It's just something they do. The child categorizes that as a religious experience that you can leave or take. And I have seen young people come up in church, children come up in church, and then when they go across the street to college and they get into that environment and they just kind of get disconnected, and you say, well, in fact, I heard a startling statistic. There was about 90-some percent of kids that are raised in church that go to a secular campus lose their relationship with the Lord. Now, I would say, did they have a relationship to begin with? In other words, they just began to live a whole different lifestyle. And here's what I'm concerned about. Then that is, could it be that there has been a religious experience, but there's never been a relationship? And so we can have people dotting I's and crossing T's and lining up and dressing right and speaking right and stand straight and get in line and all those things. But if they don't have a relationship, it's nothing but a religion. And a religion can't save anybody. Only a relationship with Jesus Christ will change your life. And so There's this trap that if we're not careful, we can get into this thing of religion where we get into this mindset that we got to earn something, that we got to do these certain things, and then it becomes hard. And just like the religious leaders of Jesus' day, we put our expectations on people because they're not lining up with what we think they should look like, behave like, do like, right? But when it's religion, let me just put it this way. When it's religion, it's hard to come to church. When it's religion, it's hard to get yourself up out of bed and go to church because it's just duty. It's just religion. When it's religion, it's hard when somebody speaks of coming early to church. I mean, I'll be good to get there, much less get there early. It's when it's just religion, when you talk about serving, oh, I've got something else to do. Please. I mean, I got enough on me. I ain't got time to help somebody else. Somebody needs to come and help me, you know. When it's religion, it's difficult. When it's a relationship, people can't wait to get to church. People can't get there early and say, when's it start? I can't wait. And when it's over, you say, is it over already? Come on. When it's relationship, July the 16th, which is our next serve day opportunity, doesn't roll around fast enough. Come on, when's it going to get here? I can't wait. I want to have an opportunity to pour into somebody else's life and make a difference. I can't wait to get in relationship with somebody. I can't wait to meet somebody I've never met in the community and pour into them and let them see the love of Jesus through me to them and see that life change forever. I mean, come on. When it's in relationship, you can't wait to share with somebody the good news, right? And let me give you this. The experience of freedom, when it's not a relationship, but when there's an experience of freedom, it changes. And then it becomes, I don't have to, but I get to. I don't have to, but I get to. So it's not I got to, now it's I get to. So instead of I got to read my Bible, I got to go to church, I got to serve, now it's I get to read my Bible, I get to go to church, and I get to serve. It's a game changer. And Paul wants to teach us one more thing, very practical. I take it with you. And it starts in chapter 5 as he's building this point. So let me back up to Galatians chapter 5. He says, you, my brothers, were called to be free. That's what the whole letter is about. But then he says, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Rather, underline this one, serve one another in love. And up to this point, he's not talked about serving. He's really been talking about our hearts. He's been wrestling for our hearts so that we would discover what true freedom is all about. But once he has our heart, then you can begin to talk about serving, because without the heart, the serve becomes religious. We base things on, it's all about what we do and what we can do for God, and that's human nature to fall into that. He goes on to say, the entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. And so Paul's reminding us, there's over 600 laws of the Old Testament. It's all of them is for this, and that is that we love our neighbor as ourself. And so the law wasn't bad, but it lacked motivation to live it out. And so the idea of love, it's relational. And that means that you can't love just out of duty. You got to love out of love, right? Right? I mean, if you tell me, I mean, if you would allow me this morning to run down here and kiss my wife on the lips that has been away from me for 2 weeks now, I would say, I get to do that right now? You know? If a husband, if a couple's at the altar and they're about to get married The minister says, you may now kiss your bride. Would you turn to him and say, do I have to? You say, I've been waiting for this the whole ceremony. I'm going to kiss my bride. Come on. It's because you're in a love relationship, right? You love out of love, not out of duty. I got to do that now. No, you're in love And so it changes everything. So the big idea is, look at this in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. Now look what he's saying. Share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. And so Paul's speaking about a new law. There's another law, the law of Christ. What is that? This is not in your notes. Let me give it to you from John chapter 13, verse 34. Jesus said this, a new command I give you. This is the new law. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And so here it is. Instead of this, this tree of knowledge where it's just religion, now it's a tree of life. So there's this new opportunity. There's this experience of God's love that's a new motivation. And he says, love others as you've been loved. And so with that comes a responsibility. So what to do with our freedom? And that is that when we've been loved, we just want to share. We want to share that love. I want to, you know, you want to shout from the hilltop, I'm in love, right? Come on, y'all. Don't look at me like you're all pruned up, dried up, you know. Hey, when you're in love, I mean, I remember when I first got married. And by the way, just a few weeks ago, Kim and I celebrated our 30th anniversary. I forgot to highlight that in the middle. See, we are in a day of miracles. She's still married to me after all this time. But I remember when we first got married, and I called my mother and said, Mom. It was in the month of May, May 3rd. I said, Mom, I have never seen the roses more beautiful. I mean, everything's in full bloom up here. I mean, it's the most beautiful. The grass is so, I mean, it's the prettiest spring. And my mom just laughed. She said, Son, it's always looked that way. It's just that you're in love. You're in love. I want to tell you, it's a game changer. And you just got to share with somebody. You're just, I'm in love. I mean, right? I'm thinking of Al Jarreau's song right now. Al Jarreau. My baby said, she loved me. Need I tell you everything here is fine in my mind? I'm not going to sing it anyway. Morning, Mr. Radio. Okay. And he's saying, because she said, I love you. Everything is fine here in my mind. I want to tell you, when you're in love with Jesus, I'm telling you, we just need a bunch of people that's so in love with Jesus that they can't wait to share it with somebody else. And that becomes our responsibility, but it also becomes our invitation, our opportunity that we have to share this thing with others, right? I mean, when you go to a good restaurant, you want to share with somebody, right? Oh, that was a great dessert. Me and Tanner, by the way. Again, Kim's been out of town for a couple weeks, so our main food groups are hot dogs, hamburgers, and pizza. And one night we went crazy and went to Olive Garden. Hey, I had nobody around to get their permission. We went to Olive Garden, and we had a good time. And the waitress was phenomenal. One of the best waitresses I've ever had. She just had the right. You knew when to come, when not to come, when how to, I mean, just not, I mean, and then for dessert, she brought us 8 of those little small chocolate mint things, 4 a piece we had. I mean, it was great. So I got that little receipt thing, you know, that, not the one you signed, the one that tells you the breakdown, you know, and I just wrote a note on there how phenomenal she was. And I made sure when she came back around, I want you to not miss this. You need to make sure this gets put in the right hand. And then I went on the way out the door and I saw a guy that looked like his manager. Are you the manager? I said, sir, I need to talk with you. This waitress was phenomenal. Best service I've ever had in my life. And here I am up here on Sunday morning telling you, you all need to go to Olive Garden. Sorry. We're eating today. Sometime this week. But you want to share with somebody. I mean, that's why some of you get on YouTube. You know, you see that cat video, it goes viral because you got to share it with somebody. I had somebody here had this, Pastor, you got to see this cat clawing out the mail slot at the mailman. He puts the mail in and it goes right back out the door. I'm looking at the person who shared it with me. Right? Some of you actually like watching the videos where people get hurt. You know, I don't understand that. People fall down and get hurt. That is hilarious. I'm going to laugh at that. I'm going to send it to somebody else to let you laugh at that person falling down and getting hurt. My wife can't stand the part of AFV, the American Favorite videos. She said, I can't take it. These people fall and get hurt, and that's supposed to be funny. Some of y'all think that's funny. I know you do. But if there's a company that's got great service, you've got to tell somebody about it. You hear the guy on the TV talking about OxyClean, you know, you don't know if you need it or not, but it's $9.99. You're getting it because that guy's so passionate about it, you got to have it because, you know, he's just sharing with you and it's just overflowing through the TV and now it's coming in the mail, you know. And so some of you are excited about Fitbit, you know. I mean, you got a Fitbit, it counts the number of steps you take and you get full credit for every step. My wife got up every morning last couple weeks and walked the beach every morning, and she told me the total. I won't tell y'all what it is. Total. I said, you could have walked to Florida and back, you know. Have you seen the one where we're just making church fun, y'all. Just relax. Have you seen the one where the cartoon where the lady's laying in bed and her Fitbit is broken? And she says, I can't get out of bed because if I get out of bed, I'm not going to get any credits for my steps. So I'm bound to this bed. So we get excited about sharing things that we're passionate about. You know, I mean, people that are in CrossFit, you're going to know about it in the first 5 minutes. I heard about one guy, you know what CrossFit is. There's this thing they call burpees. Y'all know what burpees are? I don't, but anyway, burpees, and this one guy said he did these burpees, and he said he spent 9 days in the hospital, and he was in the hospital telling everybody how great CrossFit was, and then when he got out, he went right back into it, you know, I mean, but listen, when we serve God, we need to be so excited about the relationship we have with Him. It should not just be something that just barely getting us by. We're barely surviving. We're just struggling from day to day, beating our head against the wall. We should have such an intimate relationship with Jesus that we're so filled up to overflowing that we got to share somebody. We got to be like that one in the Bible that said, it's like a fire shut up in my bones. I can't contain it. I got to tell somebody. I'm so fired up about this. I'm passionate about this. I got to let somebody know what He did for me. He can also do it for you. Amen. Amen. I didn't mean to sound preachy there, but I'm excited. We need to be excited about this thing, right? It's not just a religion. It's a relationship. And when it's a relationship that's real and we're in love, we've got to share with others. And can I tell you, I honestly believe that is the way that this church will grow. In fact, it's already happening. It's because one person comes in and they have an encounter with Jesus. And their life is changed. And they walk back out of here and somebody else they're standing next to, they look over at you and they say, something's changed about you. What is going on? Well, come and see. Come and see. Come and meet the man who can change everything about you, tell you what you've been, where you are, but also where you're going. Right? Right? I believe if we'll get excited and take this responsibility and share with others, it will change everything. And Paul leaves us with a practical how we use this freedom experience to impact the lives of others. So let me give you something very practical here. Let's begin with Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, where he says, therefore, as we have, look at this word, opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And so he's saying, we have an opportunity, and let's see where we go with that opportunity. So I want to give you some places that it's very simple here, but of how we take this opportunity. Number one, look at this in your notes. Identify my sphere of influence. Identify my sphere of influence. And so identify the people that God has put into your life. Your life is not an accident. He put you here for others. Your being here this morning is not for you just to warm a seat, and fill your tummy or your heart or whatever it is and go home. You're put here to be an influence on others and to impact other people's lives. We are not an island to ourselves. I mean to tell you, this whole thing's about relationship. From the very beginning, when it was just Adam, God said, that's not good. I'm going to give him a helpmeet. He needs to be in relationship, right? And ever since then, it's always, 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 always about relationship. So it's not just you getting yours and go home, you know I'm going to say it, and roast beef, right? You're here to affect other people. You're put here for others. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. But we will not boast beyond limits, but will boast only in regard to the, look at this, area of influence God has assigned to us to reach even to you. So God knows you can't reach everybody. It's not each person's responsibility to win the whole world. God's practical. He gives you a sphere of influence. He gives you an area to work with. Sometimes we're so busy worrying about something way out there that we miss somebody at our front door. We miss the opportunity of the coworker sitting next to us that's hurting. You know, we're waiting till we get out of that company to do something great. And I'm telling you, something great sitting right behind you, right beside you, is a great opportunity right beside you, right? So there's an area of influence that God's assigned to us. Let me give you three areas here that's not in your notes. You can put these down. Actually, this is pulled from a series that we did about Change Your World. You can go and to the archives and look at that again. But we break it down this way. Number one, my people. What is my area of influence? Number one, it's my people. My people. That's your family. That's your friends. Who's right there that you see every day. Number two, my place. That could be where you work or perhaps your school where God has placed you. Number three, my passion. And so how does that will lead us, what we're passionate about. It puts us automatically in contact with other people of like passions. That's why we have what we call the Dream Team 401 around here. We want to put you in an area of ministry that you're passionate about, that other people are passionate about, and together let's go make a difference, right? And so my people, my place, and my passion covers those areas of your influence. Acts chapter 17, verse 26 says this, from one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them in the exact places where they should live. So God is very strategic. And where he has placed you, it's not an accident. And you're saying, it's got to be an accident. Some of you are thinking, there's more crazy people in my life than anybody else's life. You know, I mean, I just got crazy people. Maybe that's why God put you there, because you qualify to help those crazy. Never mind. Moving on. I heard of a pastor who was put into a city, and it was so bad, the situation was so bad, he just complained all the time, God, this is so terrible, it's so terrible, this place is, I mean, it's horrible, God, I can't take it here, and God, when are you going to do something about it? I kept praying, when are you going to do something about it? I mean, do something about this around here. And God finally spoke to him one day in one of his prayers and said, I did do something, I sent you. Sometimes we're the answer to our own prayer. God puts us in these places for a purpose and for a reason. So identify your sphere of influence. Number two, then we meet them in their place of need. In their place of need. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, share each other's burdens. And some needs are easy to see and some are not. How do we know what people's needs are? Let me encourage you. You get close to people. You get shoulder to shoulder with people where you can begin to understand who they are beyond just their face. I'm just having a good time up here today. I've just got things that aren't in my notes that are just coming to me. I don't know. I had a person that left this church because somebody looked at them wrong. Dear God, help us. by the way, just as a footnote, not part of the message. Some of you know need to go buy the book by John Bevere, Bait of Satan. One of the things I try to encourage people when they come through the growth track, Church 101, is be aware of offenses. That's the bait Satan uses to pull you away. But, I mean, just afraid of the way they looked at him. I know, like, wait, she looked at me. I called her, like, weeks later. Well, she looked at me wrong. Dear God. May God give us thick skin. I don't think God, I mean, I understand we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to tell you, it's a tough world. I heard one person had a job, got a job. This person came here too. Anyway, I'm come and go. Anyway, this girl, she got a job, and she really didn't have to have her job because her husband was doing very well, but she got a job. And in a short amount of time, she quit the job, and she said, they lied to me. I mean, they really lied to me. I couldn't work in a place like that. And I'm thinking, girl, welcome to the real world. You know, that's what they do. Actually, I had a supervisor yesterday tell me that there was a, he said he was having lunch one day with this snake. And they were having a good meal together, and snake was eating, and he was eating, having a good time. Everything was going fine. After they finished the meal, that snake just reached over and bit me. He said, what'd you do that for? I'm a snake. That's what I do. Sometimes we expect the world to be Christians before they're Christians. Hello? Sometimes we expect when they walk in this door, that automatically means they're a Christian and they should be lining up as Christians. No, there's a nature. And some of you are still dealing with that nature that you still have, right? Lord, where am I? Let me get back to where I'm supposed to be. We need to get close to people that we see past their faces, past what they're wearing, past how they smell. Come on, past the tattoos, past the rings, nose rings, whatever you don't happen to like, whatever that is. And you need to see their need. Their need. Can I give you something to write down right here, please? Find a need and feel it. Find a hurt and heal it. Come on, write it down. If you're taking notes, write it down. If you're not taking notes, write it down. Find a need and feel it. Find a hurt and heal it. It's our responsibility to share others' burdens. That's why we have small groups. We have some small groups that have curriculum, but the curriculum is just an excuse. You've heard me say it before. But I just got to communicate the vision. And that is our small groups are really designed that you get into relationship with somebody, that you get close enough to somebody that you'll feel comfortable with them to say, hey, where you trust them enough, where you can say, hey, can I tell you something I haven't told anybody else? To say maybe one individual there. And that person begins to help you, and you begin to help them, and you begin to weep together, and cry together, and pray together, strengthen it, call each other, help each other. Come on. That's where real growth happens. So our responsibility is share other people's burdens, right? Get out of the church walls. I'm going to be meeting with our staff over this weekend, and we're going to be talking about how we can impact beyond these walls. We got Serve Day coming up. Come on, we want to get in relationship with people. Thank God that we're having the opportunity in this place to get in relationship with college students across the street, to get in relationship with the community that sits right here. Come on, it's just exciting to me that we get to be in relationship with people where we can make a difference, and it can happen anywhere, anytime. I heard about a 5-year-old who was going into a restaurant with his mother, and he looked and he saw a homeless guy with nothing to eat, and he thought, why doesn't he have anything to eat? And his mother tried to explain it to him. He said, well, can we get him something to eat? And so they invited the guy into the restaurant to get something to eat with them, and they paid for his food, and they sat down, and the 5-year-old began to pray over the meal where the whole restaurant could hear it. And it went viral on YouTube, you know, where this kid calls it just one five. Listen, if a 5-year-old can have an influence and make a difference, come on, somebody, we can make a difference in this world, right? Meet them at the place of their need. People, listen, here's what people need. People need a friend. Young people need a role model. They need a mentor. They need somebody to set an example. Well, I don't know about those. What are they doing? They need your example. They need your influence. You need to get close to them. I've heard of people who God's laid people on their heart. I need to get close to that person. Don't know why, but I need to get close to that person. And then that person would go through a tragic time in their life, but that person was there for them, and they saw them come out of that and begin serving and making a difference in the world. I'm telling you, it makes a difference. So some needs are evident, some are easy to see, some are spiritual. And the best thing we can do for people is to pray for people. Come on, and it may be that God even gives you the opportunity to lead them to Christ. Let me give you a scripture that's straight from the heart of God in Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 40. This is where it gets real. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will say to him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whenever you did it for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me." I heard of a young kid that was very, very insecure, had issues, had problems, but there was a youth pastor that took time to pour into him, to believe in him, to tell him he was a champion. There was a champion inside of him. He invested in him, helped him, mentored him. That pastor, or that young person, began to grow in the Lord, and today pastors one of the largest and fastest growing churches in the country, and making a difference in thousands of people's lives, all because one person invested in him. You never know what God is calling you to do and what a difference it will make. Let me give you point three, and that is, then we need to point them to Jesus and his church. So we serve others, especially those of the family of believers. Then we get them into a church. If that's the best place to take care of people's needs, then that's the place we need to point them to. Now, let me just say this. When you start sharing people's burdens, you got to be careful, because sometimes you can take those burdens on yourself, and then you're not much help. And when we do that, we make those people dependent upon us instead of upon God. So let me say this. So everything we do it in the name of Jesus. As we meet needs, physical needs, clothing, food, whatever it is, every need, we're saying every need is really spiritual, and we're pointing them to Jesus. Because Jesus, I mean, they could come to us and we can share in the burden, but only Jesus can take the burden, right? And so we are pointing them to Jesus. Look at what Jesus says here in Matthew 11, 20, verses 28 and 30. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So we point them to Jesus. But then we also point them to the church, his house. I believe the local church is what God has chosen to use on this planet to impact the world. And I think sometimes we underestimate the power of this house. I think, well, it's just a place we go hang out on Sundays. It's more than that. I want to tell you, it's a place where in America, over 80-some percent of people who come to Christ in this context. And what we do to impact the world has to be, it comes out from this place. And we go out in small groups. We go out in serve day. We go out in community. We go out and we make a difference from this place. But this place is powerful. It's where we are fed. It's where we grow. It's where we see lives change. And so we point them not only to Jesus, but we appoint him to his house. God's building his house, right? Let me give you a scripture. It's found in Psalm 92 that says, "But the godly will flourish like palm trees." Whenever you read about palm trees, it speaks of healthiness. Palm trees don't snap when the hurricane comes through most of the time. They just bend with it, you know. Y'all like that? They just bend with it, all right? I can't dance, like, but, you know, anyway. Like a pine, it's healthy. They're healthy. And grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon, for they are transplanted. How do they do that? How is it that they're healthy? They are transplanted in the Lord's house. Look what happens then. They flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. They will declare, the Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in him. So let me tell you what church is about. Church is about who we can love. It's about getting in relationship with them and giving them an opportunity to get in relationship with Jesus. And so there is this promise that we have of freedom, but there's this responsibility that we have as a church, and that is to know our sphere of influence, to meet their need, to point them to Jesus and the church, loving people as we have been loved. Let me give you this final verse, which is a warning with promise, which leaves us with a choice. In Galatians chapter 6, I'm going to begin with a verse that you do not have there in verse 7. It says, do not be deceived. God cannot be bought. A man reaps what he sows. So there's a law of returns there. Come on. You sow an apple seed, you're going to get an apple tree, right? It's always what you sow, that's what you reap, right? So there's a law of sowing there. And then he says this in verse 8, the one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. And there is a nature that we have, and some of that nature is just do it ourselves. Make it happen. Just got to follow these rules, and that's it. I'm going to follow these rules, and if I follow these rules, and if you'll follow these rules, and everything's going to be okay. And he says, look at this, follow a sinful nature, that's just us and of ourselves. That nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, that's that tree of life. That's that grace, and that's that relationship that you have with Jesus. From the Spirit will reap eternal life. It only comes through Jesus, not our works. Let us not become weary in well-doing, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Let me give you one final note here for your blank there, and that is choose freedom every day. Choose freedom. And it is a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. Choose to be in relationship with him. And I'm telling you, everything else will follow. It says, Jesus said when he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We're following you, Jesus. And everything else will follow. Would you bow your heads with me? Because there may be some of you here today that you just need to make a choice. And today, you can choose life. It may be that this thing, sometimes it's not intentional, but it becomes very religious. Life becomes hard and difficult. And life just comes crashing in, and you're just stifled with life, and you're trying, but you just can't seem to do better. You can't seem to get better. You're just free. And I encourage you today that you can be free through a relationship with Jesus Christ. It changes everything. And if that's you here today and you know that you need a real relationship with Jesus, I want to help lead you in a prayer, a freedom prayer. It's a prayer of surrendering. Say, God, it's not about me following rules or trying to get it all together because I can't. But God, I just want to know you. I want to experience your love. Come in and fill my life. And then I'm telling you, then something changes. We talked about this in week 3. Something changes on the inside. And there's an internal change, a miracle that happens on the inside when we fall in love with Jesus. And I'm telling you, then life changes. If that's you today and you need to pray a prayer, just committing your life to him. Maybe you have done it before and you just know that you're not where you need to be. I want to pray with you as well. But if that's you today, well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I don't have you stand or come in front of you. Just right where you're sitting. And if that's you, would you quickly slip up a hand? I'm going to know you. I'm praying with you about leading this prayer. Right where you're sitting. Those that, even if you did not raise your hands, but you need to raise your hands, just join with us as well. And let's just pray this prayer together. from your heart, just say this. Lord Jesus, today, thank you for dying on the cross for me and paying for my sins so I wouldn't have to. Today, I invite you into my life. I turn from my way to follow you. Come live inside of me. Make me brand new on the inside. I give you my past, my present, and my future. I surrender my life to you. I'm going to put it to him this way. Just say, I give you my life. By faith, I accept your love. I accept your forgiveness. I accept you as the Lord of my life. Thank you for loving me. I love you, Jesus. I accept your love today. Lord, I thank you for every person who's just accepted your free gift of grace, your free gift of love. And I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, God, that your Holy Spirit would now just begin to move on the inside, begin to change things on the inside, change their hearts. Lord, change their mind, the way they think, the way they see, Lord. Change their eyesight, God. Change what they hear. Let them hear your voice, God. God, I thank you that the past is the past. Now, everything through your blood has been made brand new. You're a new creation in you today. I thank you for that. God, I rejoice with them for new life that's found in Jesus. And Lord, I pray now, as a church, may we continue to walk this thing out, Lord, in right relationship with you, loving others, making a difference in this world for eternity. Not by what we can do, but what you do, what you have done and what you're doing in us and through us. God, we'll give you all the glory and the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody say, amen. Come on, let's thank God for His amazing grace. His amazing grace. His amazing grace. And His love is immeasurable. I just want to tell you, if you didn't hear it in this message, God loves you. God loves you. He cares deeply about every detail of you.